Hello, Jojo Church family. I trust that the Lord has kept you well. My name is Brian Navajo, and I get to serve as one of the pastors at Watoto Church, and it's a delight for me to be with you for our cell reflection moment as we get ready to just chew on what we are learning from God's Word. But allow me to start by celebrating all our hosts who provide a place for us to meet. God richly bless you. And to celebrate all our cell ministry leaders who are ensuring that our love for Jesus is growing, that our passion for community is continuing to burn brighter, but also to ensure that our commitment to the vision at Watoto is as bright as ever. We want to celebrate every single one of you. We know that some of you gather online in different parts of the world, of Uganda and of Africa. Thank you for being a part of a cell family. Watoto Church. We want to continue to see 20,000 of us in a small group before the end of this year. So let's continue to each invite one, and let's see what God will do in the lives of those that we are reaching. We're in the love of Jesus. Well, we always start a cell family gathering by reciting our vision. Why? It is the reason that we exist, the reason that Watoto Church was planted. And so let's say together on the count of three, as loud as we can, 3, 2, 1, together, we are an English-speaking, cell-based community church celebrating Christ, growing and multiplying as each one reaches one, touching those around us with the love of Jesus, bringing healing to the cities and the nations. That is our vision. A clear God-given vision that we are thankful for. Now, we began on a new series, the Spirit-Empowered Church, that we're going to be talking through over the next number of weeks. And on May 24th, we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, the day that Jesus poured out his Spirit upon the apostles and disciples in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. And on that day, Jesus launched the church in the power of the Holy Spirit. Watoto Church has been around for 42 years. We want to trust God that on that day, he will pour out his Spirit so mightily upon us as Watoto Church that as we pursue the vision he's given to us, that truly healing will come to cities and nations in the power of the Holy Spirit and for the glory of God. Really looking forward to that. And so on Sunday, we began talking about the Spirit-Empowered Church, and we're really setting the ground for what we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks. And I want to start where we started on Sunday by asking the question. If Watoto Church were to close, if your cell family were to close, would your community notice? Would our city notice? And that's a question to cause us to reflect, but it's also a question to stir up a hunger and desire in our hearts to be a church that is truly reaching our community with the love of Jesus. Not just marking time, but leaving a mark for Jesus. And not just meeting on Sunday and having great services, but a church that is serving the mission of God and truly leading the healing of cities and nations for his glory. That's the kind of church we want to be. And so as we discuss today, there were essentially three questions we were answering as we get started in our understanding of the Spirit-Empowered Church. And these are three important questions. The first was, what is the church? Because when we use the word church, so many images come into people's minds. Everyone has a different experience with the church, and their definition might be based on that experience. But it is important we go to God's Word to understand what the church is. Jesus spoke about the church in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 18. Jesus, in a conversation with his disciples, the Bible says, when he came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Wow. Peter, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, declares what is true about Jesus. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says that has not been revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven, because anyone that comes to a true understanding of who Christ is as the Messiah, the Son of the living God, only does so by a divine work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. You cannot know Jesus for who he is without the Holy Spirit. And so it is the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes and our hearts to see Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then he inspires us and moves us to put our faith in him. And that's why you and I need to be so thankful that our faith is in Jesus. It is the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And so Jesus says, it is upon that confession that I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. In other words, every place, in every city, in every community around the world, when someone's eyes are opened to see Jesus for who he truly is as the Messiah, the Son of the living God, when they come to faith in Jesus, that person, the Bible says, is born again and they become a part of God's family, the church. We are not a part of the church because we are baptized, or because we have a Christian name. No, it's because we've believed in our hearts and we've confessed with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, that he's been raised from the dead, that he's the Son of God, that he's the Messiah. When we do that, we are saved and we become a part of the church. Jesus then says that upon that confession, I will build my church. We recognize that the church belongs to Jesus. No church belongs to any pastor. Every church belongs to Jesus. That's the first thing. Secondly, we recognize that his church is built on a very clear confession. That's why we work ever hard, and that's why we pray ever so hard, that in everything we do, whether it's a school outreach, whether it's a weekend service, wherever Watono Church goes, that we preach the gospel with passion and with clarity and creatively, so that people's eyes would be opened by the power of the Holy Spirit to see Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is upon that confession that they become a part of the church. We also learn that the church is indestructible. Nothing any power of hell can do to stop the church, to destroy the church. It is indestructible, and Jesus is still building his church in our day. But as the church, we have a very clear identity. You can read 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 together. But from that scripture, we learned four things. One, that we are a chosen people. In other words, it is God who has chosen us. It is him who has called us to himself. And that's why it's so beautiful to know that God loves us so much that he's called us to himself, that it wasn't our own doing, but it was the kindness and the grace of God that drew us in. It is not us who loved him, he's the one who loved us first. And it's not because we are special. God loves us just as he loves anybody else. But what a privilege it is for our eyes to have been opened and to see Jesus as the Messiah, to put our faith in him and to be part of God's chosen people. We also learned that we are a royal priesthood. The priests in the Old Testament went to God on behalf of the people and came to the people on behalf of the Lord. And we who have given our lives to Jesus, we're a royal priesthood. In other words, we have that ministry to go before God on behalf of the city, on behalf of our families, on behalf of our community. It's a very important call, but we also come to our city, our families, our communities, our nations on behalf of Jesus. This is such a critical call. It's such an important role that we carry. It's part of our identity. People can try to silence us, but we cannot be silent because we have a priestly call. We are a holy nation. We've been called to live differently, to be holy, for our God is holy. The Bible says, separate yourself from among them and touch no unclean thing. We are to be holy people, separated to God, cut off from the sin of this world. We are to be salt and light. But we also understood that we are God's special possession. We belong to Jesus because he bought us with his precious blood. That is our identity. And it's important we understand our identity so that we do not fall for any lie, any new definition, any hype of what people think the church is. We go back to God's word that defines us. We ground ourselves in that identity because that's where we get the audacity and the bold vision to go out and reach cities and nations for Jesus. Very, very important, especially in a day where people are trying to redefine the church. But then we close by answering the question, well, what does the Spirit-empowered church look like? We said it's two things. It must be different from the world. In Acts chapter 11, we read from verse 19 to 26, it was in Antioch that the believers were called Christians for the first time. Why? Because having given their lives to Jesus, Barnabas and Saul spent a year discipling them. And that was such a beautiful formation journey because their lives began to reflect the gospel that they preached about Jesus. People watched the gospel message they preached, and then they watched their lives intently, and there was no difference. Their lives and the message they preached came together so beautifully. It was a powerful witness that the city had to put a label on it. You know, the city is hearing the gospel, but they're also watching. I pray that wherever every Watoto Church member is, I pray that wherever every expression of Watoto Church is, whether it's Power FM, whether it's our campuses, whether it's our Shift Outreach ministry, whether it is our small groups, whether it is our childcare ministry, whether it's our neighborhood ministry, whatever expression of Watoto Church, wherever they find a member of Watoto Church, in a university, in a hospital, in a school, in a community, I pray that people would see us and see Christ and say they are true Christians. Man, what a powerful opportunity we have to not just preach, but to live it out so that our witness will become so credible that Jesus becomes attractive to people and they come running to say, I've seen Jesus, I've seen the Son of God, I've seen the Messiah, I want to put my faith in him. But we also said that the Spirit-empowered church transforms the world. We have a great call in the power of the Holy Spirit to bombard the darkness that is around us, to bombard the hopelessness and the pain and the brokenness in our community with the love of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can bring about transformation and healing wherever there is brokenness and hopelessness. I mean, across history, so many stories of how believers, of how churches engaged with darkness. I mean, how William Wilberforce and friends and churches engaged with the issue of slave trade and they brought healing. It was dealt with after a period of 20 years. They worked hard and prayed hard. I mean, in our own nation, Uganda, when the missionary societies came and planted schools and hospitals, yes, in order to bring the gospel, but they elevated the way life was happening. I mean, there was invention, there was education, there was healthcare, the standard of living was improved, and many people found Christ because there was practical care. You engage with the darkness around you. We do not separate ourselves from it. We step into it, into the power of the Holy Spirit as the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and we bring healing. This is what God is calling us to be and to do. May we arise in the power of the Holy Spirit to be that kind of church, very different, so that we have a bold witness and engaging with the darkness so that we can bring healing in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to learn it right here. But I want to leave you three questions that you are going to discuss together as a cell family. So here are the three questions. Let's start where we started. If your cell were to close, would your neighborhood notice? If your answer is no, our neighborhood wouldn't notice. Then what is missing? Talk about what is missing and begin to do something about it in the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to guide you. But secondly, if you say yes, our neighborhood would notice, then you're doing something beautiful. The Holy Spirit is enabling you to do something. What more can we continue to do to ensure our influence is even stronger? Secondly, a Spirit-empowered church like Vlad must be different from the world. Why is this so important? And how is the church in our city faring? And as you discuss, begin to give a reason for every answer. We must be different. Well, how are we faring? And what are the reasons for how we are faring? Finally, share and discuss some ways in which the Spirit of our church can be truly transformational in our city or community today. And I pray that as you chat through these things, may the Holy Spirit empower us to be that church in our day that is living a mark for Christ, leading the healing and transformation of cities and nations for His glory. God bless you.